Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Amen. So my mother used to tell me the story of when I was an infant and they threw me into the pool to teach me to swim. It was the 70s. People, I mean, they weren't even wearing seat belts. I don't think it was really a safety first kind of culture. But the theory behind this somewhat bizarre choice is that we are born knowing how to swim, but that we often learn to fear water and thus swimming. And not knowing how to swim is actually quite dangerous. And my family were all basically water dogs, so they threw me in early to get my natural instincts to kick in, and it worked. I love to swim. I grew up swimming all the time in the team club and the high school. My strokes were 100 meter backstroke and 400 meter freestyle. 400 meters is a lot of laps, 16 to be exact. I still remember the feeling of standing on the starting block, bent low, hands outstretched and ready to dive in. Now, we practiced all year with three swimsuits on and hair down and usually tights or leggings on as well. So all that clothing made the resistance in the water really high during practice. And then the meet time came around and we went back to one swimsuit and hair in a swim cap. Losing that much resistance changed everything. Suddenly, after diving in the water, it was effortless. One could just glide for half a lap before one even needed to start kicking. It was pure joy. The weightlessness, the silence, the forward movement as if being carried by something bigger than oneself. Resistance. I love to swim. I love to walk or run. These are my favorite forms of exercise. I don't do them for sport or for competition because I do not have a competitive bone in my body. I am the person that the t-shirt, "I just hope both teams have fun," was made for. And I don't exercise for health. I know that makes absolutely no sense, but I exercise, run, swim, or walk because it is easy and mindless. It's just one step in front of another, no thought required. No thought required, that is, unless you have Parkinson's disease. My dad and I, before he became very ill with Parkinson's, hiked a lot together. We would walk and walk and walk for miles in the woods, especially in Alaska. One day in the tundra, as we walked, my dad broke the silence and said, "Millie, do you know what hell is?" Intrigued, and yet somehow also knowing that I would regret asking, I said, "No, Pop, tell me, what is hell?" He said, "Thank you. I'm gonna do it again, so get ready." He said, "Hell is having every useless object you have ever possessed, every expensive purchase you have ever made that never really added any value to your life, put into baggage, and then having to walk for eternity with that baggage on your back." I responded somewhat flatly, "Wow, Pop, that is really dark. And yes, I suppose that would be a very bad thing indeed." And then we continued to walk for days, free of anything on our backs, but the basic necessities of life, free to just be together walking. Now, it would be only months later that simply walking across the room would become hell for my dad as his disease progressed. But that image of walking for eternity with, say, my very expensive air fryer on my back has lingered years since his death. Forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they do. We hear a lot about forgiveness in our scriptures from Jesus as well as the prophets of the First Testament and in Torah teaching. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of others, they will be forgiven, but if you retain them, they will be retained. This is what Jesus says to his disciples when he comes to them after his death as they hide in the upper room. Peace be with you, he begins. And then he says, forgive. If you do not forgive, he says, if you retain the sins of others, they will be retained. But retained by whom? Them or us? When I was on the swim team and we practiced every day wearing loads of clothing in the water, I eventually got used to that amount of resistance. It's just what it was. That was the speed I got used to swimming at. I became unaware of the extra clothing after months of swimming like that. The burden of them just became normal. But then the first dive and that sense of effortlessly gliding as I raced the other swimmers, then suddenly I became aware of how heavy that clothing had actually been. So it is with forgiveness. When we carry around the sins of others as our own burdens, it is like that. Carrying the burden of another's sin is like walking for eternity with all your possessions on your back, or swimming miles with layers of clothing on. Eventually, the burden of it becomes normal, and we don't even notice the weight of it. Then, by the grace of God, one day you receive the Holy Spirit and you forgive someone, or you sell some of your possessions and you walk more freely, or you swim effortlessly as you receive the Holy Spirit and take off some layers of sin. And then suddenly you realize what you've been carrying. Suddenly you realize how damn heavy that sin has been, and your life changes for the better. Look, life is hard enough without wearing extra layers just to add resistance to your stroke. This isn't practice, people. This is the real deal. This is the race, and we are meant to move freely in it at our natural pace. I wonder if we hold on to another sin, resisting forgiveness, because we think if we forgive them, we'll never get what's coming to us, which is justice. I don't know. Acknowledgement? Repair? And that makes sense, but unfortunately, we can't control that. We can't make someone repair with us. We can't force anyone to acknowledge our pain or give us back what they took from us. We just can't. Peace be with you, Jesus said. What Jesus wants for us is to forgive, not so we ignore injustice, but so that we have peace. It is really that simple. But that doesn't mean the act of forgiving is simple. Forgiveness isn't a layer of clothing that can just be easily removed or a possession that one can just sell. Forgiveness is a process of discovery. Discovery of the benefit of the doubt that people, all people, are doing the best they can with the resources they have. Forgiveness is the slow process of extracting our self-worth from the actions of others, and then learning to love ourselves anyway. Forgiveness takes time and support and patience, but man, feeling of jumping off the starting block with one suit instead of three and hitting that water and gliding effortlessly for 15 meters. There is nothing like that. And it makes the other 15 laps possible and a lot more fun. It won't, however, ensure we win. But remember, winning isn't the point. Peace is the point. That still silence, that gliding effortlessly, the feeling of weightlessness, freedom, that is the point. Peace be with you. Just like swimming, we are born ready to forgive. Babies don't hold grudges. I mean, if you bounce a baby too high and accidentally knock its head on the ceiling, totally made up that example, never actually did that. But just saying you did. The baby will not hold it against you. The baby will not cry every time it sees you after that or refuse to smile at you. But if you do that every time you bounce the baby will learn to fear you. The baby has to learn to fear. We all have things that have taught us to fear the world around us, the people we thought we could trust, the love we thought would always be there. We all have reasons we fear, and that fear causes a lot of resistance in our lives. And yet we were born to love, born to be in relationship, born for connection and care. That is our natural state. And so sometimes we just have to throw ourselves into the water of forgiveness and trust we will naturally swim. Trust that our instincts will take over and we will float to the top, and that someone will be there to catch us when we do. But it takes courage to throw ourselves in that water because we are no longer babies and we have a lot of baggage. Peace be with you. No matter how many miles we have left to walk on this earth, or how many laps we have left to swim, wouldn't it be lovely to walk a little less burdened, or simply glide for a little while? Wouldn't we have so much more energy to love well, to be in right relationship, to connect and care, if we let go of some of that burden, if we shed a few layers of sin? For the next 50 days, we will sit with the fearful disciples in the upper room as they try and recognize Jesus again, as they try to forgive those that killed him and themselves for denying him, and as they try and discover the journey ahead of them without him. During this Easter season, as we do, we can discover the sin that we have retained that has kept us locked in our upper rooms of fear or contempt. And we can seek the courage to forgive, to receive the Holy Spirit, to let the process of forgiveness begin within us. And perhaps we will emerge into Pentecost more ready to receive the Holy Spirit than we were before, a little lighter, a little less burdened, a little more free to love. Peace be with you. Amen.